Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
This episode is sponsored by Estee Lauder Companies. Hello, hi, and welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Wardner, and in this special episode, I'm joined by Leslie Crowther. Leslie is the Vice President of Consumer Engagement and Retail for Estee Lauder, and I wanted to bring this conversation to the podcast because I receive a lot of questions about the business side of the beauty industry, and Leslie is an excellent resource. Whether it's how to start a career in beauty, the advice she'd share with someone keen to work in any area of the beauty industry, what trends and changes we'll see in products and how we shop for beauty in the coming years. We also discuss the role social media plays in the beauty landscape, as well as what her favourite products are. All links to the products discussed will be in the show notes, which can be found wherever you are streaming and downloading this podcast. But for now, it's a very warm welcome to Leslie Crowther on The Emma Gunn Show. So I am joined by Leslie Crowther, who is the Vice President of Consumer Engagement and Retail for Estee Lauder Companies. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Delighted.
Well, I'm very intrigued to have a conversation with you because you are a big deal in the beauty industry. And I think a lot of people listening might wonder how one becomes an executive for one of the biggest beauty companies in the entire world. And so, tell us everything.
Goodness. Well, I suppose, you know, a lot of people say to me, you know, how did you start your career in beauty? And I kind of think beauty for me has always been something that I've been interested in. Mm-hmm. So at school, my nickname was Lip Balm Queen. I'm not entirely sure if that was complimentary or not. But I think it probably reflects the fact that I just had a real passion for all things beauty, all mm-hmm. things glossy mm-hmm. Growing up. I was a bit of a contradiction in terms because I was also a bit of a mad keen sportswoman and liked to be in the army as well. So, you know, we all have lots of different levels. You can wear lipstick and be on the hockey pitch as well, I think. But I suppose the official answer is, you know, when I graduated, I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do. But advertising seemed like an interesting angle. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky enough to join the graduate scheme of a big advertising agency. Mm-hmm. And L'Oreal was one of their clients. And they asked me and they said they felt I would be a good fit in beauty, which clearly was music to my ears. Mm-hmm. So I started off working on that account. And then about 18 months later, I moved to join Estee Lauder Companies, which was 15 years ago. And since then, I've done multiple different roles. So 8 different roles within the company. Wow. Across 15 years. Yeah, lots of different things, which is one of the brilliant things about this organization, I have to say, is it mm-hmm. really does foster growth and allows you to try lots of different facets out within beauty. And that's my story.
And that brings me to, I know a lot of people who work for this company from the PR side of things in my career as a journalist and now as a content creator. And people stay at Estee Lauder for a long time and are incredibly happy here and incredibly passionate and are extremely loyal. And one of the things I've noticed, and I'm just curious about these 8 roles that you've had, is if you see an opportunity, it seems to be a company where if you say, I think there's a role here that we don't have that we maybe need that would look like this, they do tend to, as you say, foster that and encourage it and help you move those sorts of projects forward.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons I think why it keeps people here for so long, because ultimately our people are everything. And, you know, that might sound very cheesy, but it is absolutely sort of the family values of the organization are one of the real reasons why I think the company is so successful and also why it's such a fantastic place to work. And, you know, in my role, which looks after consumer engagement and retail for the group, that role didn't exist until I stepped into it 2 years ago. So I saw an opportunity that was needed within the business, as did many of our senior executives, both in the UK and globally, in terms of doing things that were sort of behind the scenes that helped to join the dots for some of our brands. So I agree with you. I think it's exciting to be part of an organization that recognizes that its team members can kind of drive progression as well as sort of maybe some senior leadership as well.
And what does consumer engagement actually mean?
Who knows? And I know we love a long title. Well, so consumer engagement really, so we have 29 different brands within the portfolio at Estée Lauder, and each of them have got their own unique identity and they operate very much kind of as their own brand and their own business. But, you know, we're all in the same game, which is luxury and beauty. So consumer engagement really is the thing that sort of sits behind all of those brands and helps them to join the dots in terms of understanding our consumer, which is kind of really at the heart and center of everything that we do, understanding kind of insights and trends and feeding that back into the brands to support them on their strategies and their communication. So really it's about, I guess, connecting and understanding what the consumer is looking for and using that to fuel the way that we communicate and connect across the whole portfolio.
And you said it's 29 brands.
29 brands.
29 brands. And you have something to do with all of them.
Yes. That's, many plates.
Well, exactly. I was about to do this, which is the universal mime for spinning plates. As a journalist, I find it very, very hard to keep up with 29 brands, and obviously there are many, many more. How, in your role, are you able to keep ahead of the game on each one?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately the brands are very much making decisions for themselves, as they should, because I think, you know, their personality and their team's personalities are the thing that shines through in the way that the brands connect with consumers. And what I help the brands to do is find some universal truths, because, you know, when it comes to consumer behavior and trends and the way that people and women and men are connecting with beauty, there are some things that remain the same. So I think while, yes, we need to make sure that every brand is unique, there's also some things that I can help support across the portfolio. And, you know, it is like spinning plates constantly, but that's what keeps it fresh. And, you know, all of us are living in a world where we're doing 500 different things at once. So at least every day is not dull.
And the marketing industry has completely transformed because of the digital revolution. So how do you understand what a consumer wants in the year 2019?
Well, I think the great thing about digital, well, there's lots of great things about the digital revolution, but I think it allows you to tap in a much more immediate way to consumer behavior, because the reality is that we can see and understand what consumers are doing because of the way that they're connecting with us on all of our digital platforms, through our websites. So I think that allows us to have a much richer source of constant information. But I would say, though, that, you know, data is important, but I am a very big believer in the power just of direct conversation. So we tend to surface insights through kind of, yes, big mass data, because it allows us to bubble up key trends. But we do a huge amount of work, which is just directly having conversations with consumers themselves, with beauty advisors, with credible voices in the beauty industry, through kind of panels and direct conversation. Because that, for me, very often is much richer than necessarily just looking at a spreadsheet. So I think the two things go hand in hand. And as a result of that, we feel that we're always kind of constantly connected into what the consumer is looking for.
And with social media, I think what it does is, a brand could put something out there and it could have a huge social media response and it would read as a success. And that does seem to be the way things have gone a little bit recently. But do you still think there's something to be said for the slow burn, the product that launches and then becomes slowly over time the icon?
Hugely. I mean, hugely.
And is the approach to those two things completely and utterly different?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think sometimes also products can take us a little bit by surprise. You know, ultimately, consumers want what they've always wanted, you know, which is personal recommendations from people that they trust and products that work. And, you know, sometimes it's really important to make a big bang around a new conversation or a new product launch. And other times, actually, you just allow consumers to do that talking for you, and which very often can actually be a lot more powerful. So I think my view also is that I think you shouldn't necessarily feel that you constantly have to make big splashes and constant noise on social. And the reason I say that is because I think you don't want to devalue the quality of the product and the quality of the conversation around kind of innovation by having what it feels like just a relentless tidal wave of newness. Because in actual fact, that I think can make the kind of quality or the iconic nature of the things that have been maybe nurtured and developed for, you know, 5-10 years within the company seem not quite so precious. So I think that there definitely is a balance between the two. And for me, the power of social media is very exciting, but actually the power of conversation directly with our consumers, you know, in department stores and with our beauty advisors is also equally as important, because that is really truly where you get actual, I think, emotional engagement. You might get lots of likes on a social post, but that power of one-to-one connection and kind of high touch and making someone smile and feel great about themselves, just like we're sitting opposite each other having a conversation now, I think is much richer than a conversation on social media. So I think the two things are key.
In my experience working with Estée Lauder companies, particularly the on-counter experience is something that has always been top of mind. And whenever I've come in for appointments or whenever there have been new launches or what have you, it's always been about this is what the consumer will experience on counter. And that's actually quite unique.
Yeah.
And I know you've done lots. There are lots of innovations on counter with things like the ability to translate, or there's lots of languages available so that you can communicate with whoever does come to that particular counter.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're exactly right. You know, Mrs. Estée Lauder founded this company and it was all about making women feel beautiful. So not about beauty being about perfection, but beauty just being about making you feel positive and making you feel great. And that comes from direct, you know, physical connection, which happens in store. But that's one element of it, which obviously is fostered through the amazing people that we have at our, what we call point of sale. It's a very marketing term, but who we have in our department stores or stores around the country. But then the other exciting thing about retail is the evolution that that digital and technology can help us to kind of extend that experience. So we do make sure that we cater to consumers with all different beauty needs and different beauty goals in many different ways. Firstly, physically, because, you know, beauty advisors, we have over 8,000 beauty advisors across our brands across the UK, and they now speak over 70 different languages. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a Google Translate technology. It can actually be having a direct conversation, which is lovely. But, you know, we also make sure that there is the technology and the ability there for, because some consumers don't necessarily even want to have a conversation. They want to personally navigate through the store themselves. So providing them with digital technology that if they do speak a different language or come from a different country, allows them to do it in the same way as they would in their own home turf, it is very important. We also use technology in store to really elevate the expertise of our advisors. So we have new skin diagnostic tools that allow you to see beyond kind of the surface of the skin. And adding to that, then you have a beauty advisor on hand who can kind of talk about why the products would be right for you, how to apply them, that personal touch. And those two things together, you feeling like, okay, I'm getting a really, really deeper look at what my skin needs. But I've also got someone here who can help me to understand, when do I put it on? You know, when does this go? Does it go before my moisturizer or after it? Like basic things that everybody, I think, needs to talk about. I think that adds to a really unique connection. And so we're proud of having the two things, I think, as part of our future.
I'd be really interested to know if the conversations have changed on counter in the last few years with, I feel like in my own experience that the beauty consumer, definitely listeners to this podcast, are so savvy about ingredients in a way that they weren't a few years ago. And whether that means that the need to elevate the on-counter experience is more important than ever.
Hugely. I think one of the most exciting evolutions, actually, I would say, in the last 12 months within this industry has been a little bit of a lifting of the lid in terms of, you know, what ingredients mean, what ingredients go into products, what they do for their skin. You know, consumers are looking like we all are, to be educated and have information. Mm. And I think that 5 years ago, that wasn't necessarily the case in beauty, but it now definitely is. It is something that we all champion. Mm. So I think what we have a responsibility to do is make sure that our beauty advisors are armed with the same amount of information that consumers can get online. Mm. And we do that obviously through kind of face-to-face education with our teams, but we do a lot more digitally in that regard as well. Mm. Primarily because there's just such a huge volume of information that actually it's one of the more efficient ways for people to feel connected into the ways that we're telling these stories to our consumers.
You mentioned Mrs. Estee Lauder a couple of minutes ago, and I'd like to just touch on that because before Christmas there was a big lunch that I attended with the entire Lauder family. It was a very big deal. I know that people listening would have seen it on my social channels, and I just wonder if the legacy of Mrs. Estee Lauder is still evident within the business today.
Oh my goodness. I mean, honestly, I mean, I feel in a funny way like she still permeates a little bit through everything that we do. Mm. And, you know, she was an incredible woman. She founded this business as a woman in an age where this really was not necessarily something that women were doing. And fundamentally, it was also created for women to make women feel empowered and good about themselves. And also she really worked hard. You know, she was massively entrepreneurial. And I think that entrepreneurial spirit is something we're a huge global organization now. But it's all about making sure that we are staying fresh and challenging ourselves in the way that we think, because that was the way that she thought. Mm. And I think because the family are still very much a part of the company, obviously, I mean, you saw and met many of them, and I know you've met some of them before, and then also at the lunch. That adds a real personal connection to it because, you know, Leonard, who is her son, you know, has so many stories about her, some of which I can share and some of which I can't. but I think that also is very unique. And the family are very involved, you know, the whole way through multiple generations. They work for the company, work incredibly hard, are very inspiring, but also have direct, you know, I have direct relationships with many of them. And that is, for me, wonderful, inspirational. And you know, someone like Jane Lauder, who runs the Clinique brand, is just the most incredible woman. Also has the most amazing wardrobe, so that is also fabulous.
I noticed that.
Oh my goodness, yeah, her accessories are delightful. But I think that is one of the reasons that Estee Lauder Companies is so unique, because the family values and the spirit of Mrs. Lauder lives on. And one of my favorite quotes is, I didn't dream about success, I worked for it. And, you know, we love it. And I love it. And I feel like sometimes, you know, when you're having a tough day, you just have to think to yourself, you know what, life can be tough and work can be tough. But if you work hard, then you can achieve things. And so, yeah, I'm very proud to be part of the organization.
This is such a difficult question to ask you. I'm looking at it and I'm just thinking this isn't fair, but I'm going to do it.
Oh, no.
What's your favorite ELC, Estee Lauder Companies product?
Oh, goodness.
I don't think it would take me about a week to choose.
I think if I had to choose one, it would be Advanced Night Repair.
Yeah.
I have used it since I was 23. Morning and night. And I think that's the funny thing about that product is because it's called Night Repair, everyone assumes that you should only use it at night, but you can also use it in the morning under your moisturizer. And my skin honestly thanks me for it. I think the reason why I use it is because I notice it when I don't. And also it's a really multifaceted product. So you use it essentially as a serum and kind of a real kind of supercharger for your skin, which is just gorgeous. It feels super silky. It's very hydrating, but then it can also be used to make your foundation a bit more dewy, or, you know, during the day, especially, you know, I spend a lot of time in air conditioned offices. If you just pat a bit on top of your foundation, it makes your skin look hydrated. It's sort of that 3 o'clock slump. So there's lots of different ways to use it. It's a great product and I love it. Can I say one more?
Okay.
So the other one would be Origins Drink Up Overnight Mask. I don't know if you've come across it. It's the one in the green tube.
Right.
It's so delicious. So you put on a very thin layer on before you go to bed at night on cleansed skin. And it's got apricot and avocado kernel oil in it. So it smells completely delicious. And you put a very thin layer on, go to sleep. And I swear the next morning your skin is like a baby's. I mean, it's just gorgeous. It's very sensorial as well. So I'm quite a sensorial
fan. I'm going to have to give that another go.
Yeah, highly recommend it.
Advanced Night Repair is one of my favorites. And Dame Georgie Dawson, as I like to call her, the day that we went out and she said, oh, you know, you can use it in the daytime.
Yeah. It's a game revelation. Changer. I know. Game we have changer. Had many discussions about changing the name, but I don't think that's going to happen. So
no, A&R.
Yeah, A&R. It's the little brown bottle.
It makes me laugh that the shorthand for we have shorthand in the industry for so many products like DDML.
Yeah.
Dramatically different moisturising lotion from Clinique, but the DDML is almost like a. It's almost onomatopoeic. I can't even say the word. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Onomatopoeic. Thank you. Anyway. Yes.
Oh, now we're both getting confused.
So you have been with this company now for 15 years. You are blazing a trail. And I guess one of the questions I would like to ask you, and there are two ways to ask it, is what's the advice that you would go back and give yourself at the start? And what's the advice that you would give somebody starting out?
Ooh, advice I would give myself.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think I care a huge amount, and sometimes I very much sweat the small stuff. Which sometimes I think is what makes me who I am, but other times I think sometimes I just wish I could let the small stuff go. Because I take defeats, or if things don't work, I do take them very personally. But I think as you get older and wiser, you recognize that that is just a part of life. And definitely when I was younger, it affected me a lot more than it affects me now. So I wish I could kind of go back to myself and say, this is okay. Like, everybody fails. And sometimes you don't get things right, but it is, and I don't mean this to sound cliched, but it is about the way that you deal with it and move on that makes you better. So I think probably that's the piece of advice that I would give myself. In terms of other young women starting out in the industry, I think, do your research, get into store. Social is very important, and I think it can be a great way to understand the kind of conversation that brands are having, and can allow you to develop your own point of view on what you think the beauty conversation should be. But get into store, talk to advisors, see how consumers are engaging with beauty. That is really important. We spend a lot of time at counter, and a big part of the fabric of what our teams do here is we spend time getting out of head office and into store to work, to chat, because that's kind of where a lot of the magic happens. So I would say definitely, I think that is hugely important. And then I think the other thing for me is, social media is a very big part of the way that we all connect and communicate. But I think it can fuel fantasy in a way that can be... can make beauty feel a little bit too much like perfection. And yes, I think beauty is not... Yeah, exactly. And beauty is actually, for us at this company, not about perfection. It's about positivity. So I think about social media as a great place to learn, but not necessarily to feel intimidated by, because actually what we find more and more is that consumers are connecting with... credible voices in the industry and influencers who are real and, who are slightly vulnerable. None of us have perfect skin all the time, even if you are using advanced night repair
you
twice a day.
You should have seen me when I woke up this morning.
Yeah, I think it's just a reality. So I think also that's part of it. And I think, work hard and stay focused on what you want to do. It's like everything in life. And then you can get there.
Let's go back. Work hard and focus on what you do. That's the advice, isn't it? That's kind of the core of it.
Yeah.
And I understand what you say about sweating the small stuff. I feel exactly the same way when I look back at how I used to react to things at like 25 and 30. And It is. I'm a bit like you. I've accepted it and gone, well, that makes me really passionate and care and give a damn.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to apologize for that.
No, exactly. I feel very similar. Mm. And I think I'm also very naturally just an empathetic person. Like, I care about how other people are feeling and what other people are thinking. And I think that also makes you a good leader. So I think exactly like you said, we should embrace it and not see it as a flaw.
And I often think that my 25-year-old self was already mentally in some ways where I am now. And that was it's quite frustrating because I still had my 15 years of learning to do. But I really did feel like I knew where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And so I found that there was a bit of a mismatch. Now it feels like it's sort of a bit more aligned. I don't know if you feel that.
No, very true, actually. I always knew that I was capable of... I don't know. I mean, getting to the top sounds ridiculous, but I knew I was capable of good things within this business. So I think you're right. And I think it's about, you know, you all have days where you feel like you are nailing it and days where you feel like you're definitely not.
Yes.
But I think that's also okay.
Yeah.
Like, no one can feel perfect all the time.
No. No one. Why would you want to?
No, exactly.
Surely that's boring. There are so many new brands. Have you ever thought that the beauty space is becoming overcrowded, or do you think that there's room for everyone?
I think it's such exciting times for us within the beauty space. I mean, there is a huge number of brands out there. And, you know, more every year we see new numbers of brands launching into the market. I think it makes it harder for consumers to make choices about about who to choose and what's going to be right for them. But no, I don't feel actually like it's getting too cluttered, because I feel like the brands that will stand the test of time are the brands that have quality at their core and are very open about the kind of conversation around beauty that the consumers want to have and that continually innovate. Mm-hmm. And all of those are very much kind of foundations that our business has been built on. And one of the reasons why we have so many brands that I think have continued to evolve and kind of be very iconic on the landscape, really.
Mm. And one of the other, we talked about social media and that kind of technology changing things, but from the other angle, do you think technology will change the actual beauty experience? Like in 2050, goodness me, that sounds so far away. In 2050, what will bathrooms look like? Do you think there will be gadgetry and high-tech tools to...
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. We're having conversations about that sort of thing now. So I think by, you know, is that 30 years away? Yeah. Then I think it definitely will become a reality. You know, I think that all of us will have smart mirrors. I think smart mirrors will be connected into things like weather, temperature, climate, humidity, that will help to help us to make decisions about the products that are right for our skin on any given day, any given time of day. I think that's definitely a reality. I also think, you know, you see it now with many other kind of technology platforms, that smart replenishment also, I think, will be a part of our beauty future, in terms of knowing and understanding when products have run out and automatically replenishing them for you, so sort of take that friction away from that consumer, you know, path to purchase. I also think that bathrooms probably will still be places of discovery and fun and enjoyment about beauty. So I think those things will stay the same. But technology, I think, will revolutionise it in terms of expertise and experience.
Are there any startups or any brands or people that you're excited about right now?
So I think there's so many different brands evolving within the beauty space. And I think one of the great things for me about this industry overall is it very much feels like a collective and a supportive network. Mm. You know, I think what Glossier are doing is really interesting. I think they involve the consumer very much in the brand. And I think that's exciting for them, and exciting also to see how that kind of helps evolve the industry and the space as a whole. I love what Huda's been doing over the last couple of years. I think she is an amazing woman. She makes me laugh. She doesn't take herself too seriously. And she is also about supporting other brands, which I think is a really inspiring thing. And, you know, the launch of Drunk Elephant as well in the UK has also been very interesting, because it has created a new type of skincare conversation, or brought it to the fore, that maybe it was bubbling away in kind of smaller layers. Certainly we saw it on our brands. But I think just highlighted that skincare can be fun. It doesn't need to be too scientific, although the science and the information is there if you want it. Mm. So it's sort of, I think all of those brands are doing good things for the industry.
It is a very exciting time, but obviously it can be slightly overwhelming when you're on the other side of it, which is something I often wonder about. And I sometimes think, with the advances in online shopping, and it's so easy now, whether you think there will be any impact on the high street moving forward in terms of actual footfall and going into store and having those one-to-one experiences that we talked about at the top.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us are facing uncertain times. You know, being in the UK right now is not easy, and we're seeing a lot of noise, obviously, around the high street and some big retailers, which are very much a part of kind of the fabric of our business as well, going through some challenges. I have to say, though, I feel like the kind of the storm that we're all heading into is also an enormous opportunity. And I really believe that many retailers will embrace the opportunity that that presents them in terms of having to transform and change. You know, retail needs to look different. Consumers are looking for places to be, not just shop. And so as a result of that, I think that the kind of destination of the high street is super important, and creating spaces that, you know, allow consumers not to just shop, but to kind of experience things, be educated, socialize. That's very much part of how we see retail, the future of retail as a company. And I think it's exciting, if a little terrifying, to be kind of looking into the future to see what that might look like. But I fundamentally believe that, you know, for all of our brands and for beauty in general, you know, women want to still touch, feel, smell, and enjoy the products. Yeah. Exactly. You know, you can experience a lot of it. And we're doing a huge amount of technology in terms of virtual try-ons and allowing brands like Smashbox and Estee Lauder to kind of be in your pocket 24/7, which is really great and very innovative. But nothing beats, you know, really trying on the richness of that lipstick at a MAC counter for yourself, and seeing how it looks and seeing how it makes you feel. So it will always be a part of who we are. And I'm excited to partner actually with many of the retailers as we kind of evolve the beauty, the beauty experience for consumers.
That was always one of my challenges when I was writing every week in a magazine about products, new launches or existing products, because it's such a subjective thing. That's why I never really touch perfume in editorial, because I think you just have to smell it.
Yeah, so
you'll
true.
Know.
Yeah. Smell a vision. I'm like, that's surely at some point we'll be on our doorsteps. Maybe not by 2050 then.
Exactly. But it is such a subjective thing. But one thing that has happened is we have content creators, as I choose to call them. I know that they're sometimes called influencers, who have kind of added a step into the discovery of swatching on YouTube or having very interactive Instagram feeds, being very clever about how they produce stuff. Do you have favourite content creators?
Oh, so many. I mean, I think for me, when it comes to beauty and content creation, I like people that have depth, expertise, credibility, teach me something. So I think, but
just
also
say Sam and Nick.
Well, yes, I was actually. So definitely Sam and Nick Chapman. Also, the reason I love them is because they're very real and they have a sense of humor, and I engage with them as people as much as I engage with their expertise. And I think that's why, you know, they have such enormous followings. Also someone like Caroline Hirons in skincare, because she just has such a great depth of knowledge. And she's also slightly bonkers, but, you know, I like that too. So that for me, I think is, I think they're great as sort of a collective team. I really, I love the kind of up and coming names of the wardrobe icons. So what Laura and Petro are doing in the space of kind of fashion and beauty, also talking to a slightly older audience, which I think is really emerging in the social space. It's not just all about the territory for millennials and kind of Gen Z anymore, which I think is great. I follow people like Lucy Williams and Peony Lim for their aesthetic. You know, I really enjoy, sometimes you need a bit of escapism, right? And feeling like you're just getting away from the everyday. And I think that social media also can help to fuel that, which is a positive thing. So, I mean, there's just a huge, great big long list, but I think they're probably my top picks for now.
One of the things that I think is a really wonderful development in beauty is diversity and inclusion, inclusivity, and the fact that when we talk about makeup, we're not just talking about ladies or girls, we're talking about ladies, girls, men, boys too. I like the fact that it's open to all, and I wondered how the Estee Lauder company brands were really addressing this or making sure that they were moving forward in the right direction on that score.
Yeah, so I think, you know, this is a topic that's very dear to my heart and to many of our brand's heart, which is about, you know, any man, woman feeling included and part of the beauty conversation. Mm. I think, you know, we've had to be quite pragmatic in the strides that we've taken to ensure that actually we are answering those beauty goals and those beauty needs. So about 5 years ago in the UK, we set up a department, which makes it all sound very structured. But I think, you know, we had to do that in order to make sure that there was a right, the focus and the lens was on this conversation for the business. And that department, which sits within my team, is really all about getting underneath the skin of kind of beauty aspirations and goals of men and women of all ages that are in the UK or indeed visiting us from other countries. And so we then surface those insights and that education in lots of different ways through the business. So run a huge number of education seminars with our teams on counter and our brands to help them to understand kind of the spirit of what these men and women are looking for. There's also a huge feed of that that goes back into the innovation pipe. So with our teams in global to ensure that, you know, we've got the right shade ranges and the right, tinctures and tints within our colour lines to make sure that they work on all skin tones. And also that we're using language that resonates with different communities, which I think is also really important because the lexicon can be very different depending on what your background is. And then more practically, I suppose, we also work with kind of key opinion leaders that are part of different communities in the UK to talk to them about what it is that they feel we should be more actively doing in this space. So we recently did a Beauty Box collaboration with Funmi Feto, who's a contributing editor at British Vogue, an amazing woman and a real champion for our business. And she helped us curate a selection of products that were right for the Black British woman. We had an amazing response to it. The Beauty Box sold out within 2 weeks. And it was just the social engagement that I actually felt really excited about. So that's one example of many different ways, I think, that we help to surface insights in a very real way to service the kind of different needs of consumers. And it's hugely important. You know, I'd love to get to a place, honestly, where that department didn't exist, which sounds crazy, but I feel like it's a shame that we have to even have to talk about inclusivity because that by its very nature means that we're not being progressive enough as an industry or, you know, I'm not just talking about beauty, I just mean in general. So I think the day that you don't ask me that question is the day when we've really all won.
Yes, isn't it just? Now, our time together is drawing to a close, so I think what I'd like to ask you about as a final thought is, what are you most excited about for beauty, whether it's Estee Lauder companies or the industry as a whole? What are you most looking forward to happening that you see already on the horizon?
Ooh, I think more than ever now, I think consumers are involved in conversations with our brands in a kind of much more dual way. So I guess I'm excited about continuing that conversation with consumers, helping them to feel part of the beauty conversation and kind of making sure that it is open and kind of celebrated by everybody. I'm also super excited, I have to tell you, about so much innovation in terms of products that are coming down the pipe from so many of our brands. I think the day that I don't feel excited about newness and innovation is the day that I probably need to leave. And I think overall, I think the spirit that beauty can and the positivity that I think our industry can play in, you know, men and women's lives of all ages is very important. And I think we've got a real responsibility to make sure that we continue to foster that. So I'm excited to see where that can take us. Because in a world where sometimes things can feel very tumultuous, you know, beauty can be something that can connect with everybody and create a real sense of community. So I'm excited about that in our future too.
I'm excited too. It's honestly, you are such a mine of information and it's so interesting to actually sit here and get to speak to you one-on-one about it. And I'm sure listeners will agree. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Delighted. Thank you. Well, thank you for having me anytime.
Before you go, just a quick reminder that if you want to get in touch with me, all you have to do is email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com or slide into my DMs, where I'm at Emma Guns on Instagram and Twitter. You can also click the link in the show notes, which can be found wherever you are streaming and downloading this podcast, and join the closed Facebook group where there are wider discussions about all of the topics and episodes on this particular podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.